supposed to be anyway. Thank you.
It sure did.
You just press that little button.
I'm ready.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church. I am thrilled to death to see so many people here this morning. This is great. Just a word of assurance, I'm not doing the service again this week. As you know, we have lost our pastor. He has moved to Clinton, but we are very thrilled to have our new pastor with us today just to share some things with you. And that should be a familiar face to most of you. This is Dr. David Lord and Catherine. We're so glad that you're back with us today. As far as our announcements, the only announcement that I have is that we will be doing a welcome back dinner, I will say that, on the 11th. We decided it was not a good thing to try to do it on the July the 4th because we knew that a lot of you would be with family and would want to do that rather than staying at church for a dinner. So we're going to have a potluck dinner on the 11th to welcome back Dr. Lord and Catherine. We are, of course, sad that today is Clayton's last day with us. Clayton, we'll have more to say to you in a little while, okay? Do we have any other announcements that I need to make? Okay, at this time then we will have the chiming of the hour.
Thank you.
As you are able, please stand with us as we sing, O Spirit of the Living God. It's hymn number 539 for those of you watching if you have a book. Please stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Oh.
be seated then. Okay, at this time we want to take our praises and our prayer requests to God. When you look out through here, all the praises are just unbelievable, are they not? We have Larry back with us this morning, and Arville's with us. We're so glad to see you, Arville. Morgan, we're glad you're back. We've got Miss Wanda in the choir. Struggling though she may be, she's back with us this morning. So we have so much to be thankful for. But we do want to lift our prayer concerns. Oh, yes. Liam, we have very much a praise. Liam Easter is 7 years old today. Happy birthday, Liam. Clayton, can we sing happy birthday to him? That was pretty special, huh, Liam? Eh, he could care less. We hope it's a great day, and I'm sure it's already been a great weekend because I saw where your grandmother was posting on Facebook about your birthday, so I know it's a good one. All right, at this time, do we have any prayer requests that need to be made?
Ms. Terry.
Yes. Absolutely. Continue to remember Miss Wanda. She starts physical therapy this week, starting out at 2 days a week, and then three if she can tolerate the 2 days a week. So she's really having a time, and we're just thankful she's with us. But let's do continue to remember her, and let's continue to remember our church. I'm sorry? Yes. Okay, Martha Gullett has had heart surgery this week. She did come through the surgery fine, so just continue to remember her that she can gain her strength back, because I know that's the important thing after heart surgery is getting back into the swing and getting your strength. Anybody else? Yes, Morgan. All right, Morgan has lifted him, has asked, request prayer for continued growth and continued healing, and for a friend in West Virginia that, just a friend in West Virginia? Okay, sorry about that. I have a hard time hearing up here. Anybody else? Yes, Michelle. Of course. That's what mothers do, right? All right, Michelle has requested prayer for herself and for Jean, because grandmothers worry just as much as mothers do. I know now that for a fact. Carson is moving to northern Arizona, so she just wants safe travels and safety while he's there, and also for her peace of mind. Anyone else? All right, can we bow our heads, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the privilege to be able to come to your house to worship thee, to join together in fellowship, to share our concerns and our joys with each other, and to hear your word. And we just pray that today that you will open our hearts so that we can hear what you are saying to each one of us individually. Lord, we lift these prayers, requests to you. We just pray that your will be done in each of their lives for peace, for comfort, for healing, for strength, whatever the reasons may be, Lord. We just lift those to you. And we also thank you for the praise reports that we have had. We thank you for those that have not been able to be with us. We're thankful that they're back with us again and are able to walk into church or to roll into church, whatever it is, but here with you and with all of us. And Lord, we just pray that you will continue to bless this church. We pray that you will help us to depend on you and not our own selfish desires, that we will know what you want us to do to lead this church forward. And at this time, Lord, we just thank you for the ultimate gift of Jesus and for his salvation. Now, as we join together in the prayer that you taught us, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you will stand again with us, we're going to have our next hymn, which is Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing. If you do have a book, it's page 400. Thank you. You may be seated. Trying to get Larry's attention. I'll just pull it on you. At this time, we are, got too close. Sorry. Is that better? Okay. At this time, we want to present our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. Once again, we are not doing the regular offering. We have our baskets at this door and at the door going out to the narthex. So if you will please drop your offering in there, we would appreciate it. Also, you can go online and do the tithes or the offering that way as well. Larry, would you mind offering the prayer for our offertory, please?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and we just ask that you would touch and bless us and allow us to give what we know is yours, Lord, that we could give back. Ask that you would use that to keep our church going, to do things for the community that we know need to be done. All these things we pray in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Oh, choir too. Okay, y'all just stay up there. At this time, y'all sit down, thank you. At this time, we are going to have a musical selection by our choir.
Thank you.
was beautiful. Thank you. All right, at this time, I have the pleasure to reintroduce Dr. David Lord.
Thank you. Hello again. Oh, if I counted right, we've got 32 here today. That's the most people that I have preached directly to in about 15 months. But it is good to be back with you this morning. Unfortunately, I'm not here officially today. I'm not here officially until next Sunday. If I were here officially today, I would say the first thing I needed to do as an order of business is for us to take a vote whether or not we're going to let Clayton leave. You will be sorely missed. I was just looking at the directory the other day, and I saw in there where Clayton was still the music director here, and I thought, oh, great. And then I heard. But anyway, we do appreciate over 3 years of service. Thank you so much. And as Terry mentioned, she'll be saying more to you later. It's good to be back. We appreciate you folks so much and all that you're doing for the Lord and for His kingdom. When I talked to Terry last week, I told her, I said, now, I'm not going to do a full sermon, just a little devotional thought, and I won't even get up in the pulpit. And then I remembered that the camera is up here. Okay, if I adjust this a little bit, maybe. I hate to keep ducking down trying to get on screen. There we go. Maybe that's better. Okay. Now I see what you all have to go through every week. But anyway, I believe God has some great and wonderful things ahead for Rockwood United Methodist Church. Not because of who the pastor is going to be, but perhaps in spite of it. This isn't my church, it's not your church, it's His church. We're going to talk about that. But as I got to thinking about having a little devotional talk, God kept putting more and more on my heart. And so I'll just go ahead and get into it and let God speak to you too. Stand with me, please, as we read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. This section of Scripture is headed with the phrase, the cost of being a disciple. It says, great crowds were following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my follower, you must love me more than your own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. Yes, more than your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And you cannot be my disciple if you do not carry your own cross and follow me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. When I realized that not only was next Sunday going to be my first official Sunday, but it's also the 4th of July weekend, in fact, the 4th of July, it's also Communion Sunday, and I figured, well, if I'm going to say a lot of things, I probably better say them today, because next Sunday we've already got some other things to focus on. It's been an interesting past year and a half, hasn't it? The church, the society in general, the United States, the world has been through things that we haven't seen in our lifetime before. Hopefully we won't see it again either. But one of the things that is amazing me now as things are coming back to some kind of a normal is how, now don't get alarmed, I'm not going to get into politics here. But it's how our government talks about putting billions and billions of dollars into one program or another to fix it. More recently, they talk about trillions of dollars. Now, you know that $1 trillion is 1,000 billion, right? Or $1 trillion is $1 million million dollars. And now they're talking about $6 trillion, which is enough to give every single man, woman, and child in the state of Tennessee $1 million. Then the government says, but it's not going to cost the average taxpayer a penny. I haven't figured out how they're going to do that. It becomes all too easy for us to expect the government to step in and fix everything without any expense or inconvenience to us. Now, here's where we get into the sermon, okay? You can breathe a sigh of relief now. It becomes too often that we tend to look for a spiritual bailout as well. We want a quick fix in our church that won't cost us anything as individuals or as a church. Now, this morning, I've got some bad news and some good news for you. The bad news is that we cannot afford what we need. The good news is it's already been paid for. Paid in full by Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. We do not have to pay for anything. In fact, we can't pay anything. One time in a church that I was pastoring, we had a member that during the course of a discussion, he said, you know, he says, that's the problem in our church. Whenever there's a need, whenever there's a situation, we just throw money at it. That struck me. I've thought about it many times since then. The message today is bad news if we're looking for cheap grace. If we're looking for a cheap and easy way to get out of our spiritual life in gear and to get the Rockwood United Methodist Church back on track, it ain't going to happen. Because with God's free gift of salvation comes a call to discipleship that takes everything. We're called to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and follow Jesus. When Catherine and I first met, I was teaching in middle school in Lakeland, Florida, and I had a poster up on my wall. It was kind of a blurry picture, but you could tell it was a track meet. They were running a race. And across the bottom, it said, all it takes is all you've got. Well, that's kind of where we are now. If we're looking for a cheap and easy way to get Rockwood United Methodist Church back where it ought to be, we need to realize that God has other plans. Jesus tells us, first of all, that the price is sacrifice. Our world today is looking for quick and easy shrines where the message of the valuable things of life, where the message is that the valuable things of life can all be ours without effort, without discipline, without pain, without sacrifice. We watch the infomercials on television, and they tell us that we can lose weight and we can become ripped with no effort at all on our part. And all it costs is $14.95 for the first month. You read the fine print down at the bottom. It says for the next 5 years, you're paying $50 or $60 or $70 a month on the rest of it. This is not the way that works with our bodies. It's not the way that works with our souls. This is not the way that it works in God's church either. Most of the churches of Europe are cruciform. That means they're built in the shape of a cross. There's a long nave that's intercepted by a transept. The building speaks about the way of the cross, the way of sacrifice. One of the strange things that has been noticeable down through the years is that self-denying, cross-shaped Christians who have that kind of a discipleship, who make that kind of commitment, they tell us over and over again that they never felt more alive than when they took their discipleship seriously. We need to realize that Jesus wants to guide our lives. He has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And he has a plan and a purpose for Rockwood United Methodist Church. Folks, God ain't done with us yet. Okay? We should begin with the end in mind. What would happen if we spent time daily in God's presence, listening to God's guidance and committing ourselves unconditionally to God's work? Let's talk some more about the cross. It should remind us that we are of vital worth to God. A woman was on vacation in Florida, and one day as she was out shopping, very often as women are wont to do, she discovered a very valuable painting that was for sale. She sent a telegram to her husband, telling him all about the painting and how beautiful it was and how expensive it was. She got a telegram from her husband. So she went out and bought the painting. When she arrived home with the painting, she discovered that she had a very irate husband. He says, "I told you not to purchase that." She said, "Now wait a minute, I've got your telegram right here. The telegram that he sent was no exclamation mark. The price is too high, exclamation mark. The telegram that she received was just what he had said, except they left out the punctuation. So it said, no price is too high. What a difference it makes. It's hard for us to stand that God looks at us and our pitiful lives and believes that no price is too high to redeem you and me from sin and death. Also, the cross shows us that God sees our potential. Our potential as individuals and our potentials as this church here in Rockwood, Tennessee. Why else would God go through such trouble? God is not finished with our church. He sees something very special in us. A young man arrived unannounced at the home of a young lady upon whom he had a very serious crush. She heard the doorbell and she came to the door with her hair teased. You know, with some of us, the idea of having hair is just a tease. But she had her hair all frizzed out, looked like she stuck her finger in a light socket. And when she opened the door and saw him there, she was very embarrassed. And she tried to make light of the situation. She says, how do you like my hair? He stood there for a moment and then very wisely replied, It looks as if it's ready to become something beautiful. George was driving home in his Model T Ford after a long, hard day at work. He was looking forward to a hot meal and to being able to spend some time with the children. Without warning, his Model T sputtered and rolled to the stop of the road and stopped. He got out and lifted up the hood with no idea what he was supposed to be looking for, what he was supposed to do. About that time, a big, fancy chauffeur-driven car pulled up behind him and stopped. A man got out of the back seat with an expensive suit and an overcoat on. He walked up. He told George, he says, "Get in the car." George did. He fiddled with a couple things under the hood on the motor and told George, says, "Go ahead and start it." The car started right up. George says, how did you know what to do? The man replied, I'm Henry Ford. I created this car. Now, who should know more than our Creator about how we can get our lives and get our church back on track? Our lives may seem to be a mess, but God sees our potential. You and I are called to take up our cross and follow Him. Jesus wasn't looking for a crowd. Jesus wasn't even looking for commitment. He wasn't looking for decisions. He didn't ask anybody to come down the aisle and bow at the altar rail and pray the sinner's prayer. What Jesus was looking for was disciples. Do you realize that in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, the word disciple is used 246 times? There's something about being a disciple of Jesus Christ that we need to realize involves sacrifice. Sacrifice means we must establish priorities. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Nothing in between there, nothing else, no dots, nothing else. To live is Christ, to die is gain. We must be willing to pay the price. Remember, Jesus went on in this same scripture and talked about someone that was going to put up a building and they didn't count the cost first and they found out they couldn't afford it after they got started. The same thing with following Him. When Jesus told this story, he was on his way to Jerusalem. All around him, the crowds were looking for a new kingdom. Jesus knew that the path that he was on would lead to the cross. He said, you cannot be my disciple if you don't carry your own cross and follow me. Salvation is free, pardon me, but it's not cheap. Someone asked George Mueller one time what the secret was for his deep spiritual life. He replied, the secret is that on the day that George Mueller met Jesus Christ, George died. He was willing to make any sacrifice to follow Jesus. We live in a free country, but it's free only because our founders made a sacrifice. The church is here today because initially, 11 disciples obeyed the command of Jesus to go into the world and make disciples. Consider what happened to those first church members. Andrew died on a cross. Simon was crucified. Bartholomew was flayed alive. James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded. The other James, the son of Alphaeus, was beaten to death. Thomas was run through with a lance. Matthias was stoned and then beheaded. Matthew was slain by the sword. Peter was crucified upside down. Thaddeus was shot to death with arrows. Philip was hanged. Only John made it through alive. But you remember he was exiled to the small island of Patmos out in the Mediterranean Sea. Jesus told the crowd, anyone who's not willing to give up everything cannot be my disciple. Edward Everett Hale wrote, I'm only one, but still I'm one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something I can do. What kind of church do you suppose a Rockwood United Methodist Church would be if every member served in the church? If every member loved the church? If every member shared the church with others, like hopefully we do? Let me paraphrase what somebody once said. What kind of church would Rockwood be if each of its members were just like me? You see, it doesn't matter who's up here. Doesn't matter if it's Sam or Annette or whoever the old guy was that was here before Annette. Doesn't matter who's up here. Only 3 to 5% of the people start coming to church because of who's in the pulpit. 90 to 95% of them or more come because a friend or relative invited them. Back in the day, the Pony Express would run ads for riders. The ad didn't try to paint a rosy picture. It said, "This job is hazardous. We prefer orphans." That's pretty well putting it on the line. Now also, they wanted riders that were mainly between 15 and 25, and they wanted riders that weighed less than 120 pounds. So, but they were willing to pay the price. David Livingston was a brilliant scholar. He graduated from Glasgow University with a degree in medicine. He could have had any job he wanted. But God called him to the mission field in Africa. He was led to the interior of Africa where no white man had ever been. No gospel had been preached. No salvation had been offered. The sacrifice he made was incredible. While out in the bush preaching the gospel, a lion leaped on him and clamped its teeth on his shoulder and crushed it, leaving his left arm totally useless. One of his helpers killed the lion and saved Livingston's life. A woman who later became his wife nursed him back to health. As the years passed, they had 5 children. One of the children died, and then they concluded that it would be safer for his wife and the 4 remaining children to go back to Scotland. Livingston said that that decision was the hardest decision he ever made in his life. For 5 years, he did not see the faces of his wife and children. He said the loneliness was almost unbearable. Finally, the day came for him to return home. When he got back to Scotland, he found that his family had just buried his father. He enjoyed some time with his family, but he knew that eventually he was going to have to leave the comforts of home and go back to Africa. More lonely years passed. He finally received a letter from his wife saying the children were now grown and she was going to join him. For weeks, she traveled across oceans and up steamy African rivers until finally she was back in the arms of her husband. But shortly after she arrived, she was struck down by an African fever. Dr. Livingston used all of his medical skill to try to save her, but he could not. He buried his wife. And after a short memorial service, he went back to his cottage and wept. He had made unbelievable sacrifice and endured unbelievable burdens. That very day, he wrote in his diary, "My Jesus, my King, my life, my all. I again dedicate my whole self to you. I place no value on anything I possess or anything I do except in relation to the kingdom of Christ." David Livingston had walked over 11,000 miles. His left arm hung uselessly at his side. His body was emaciated. His skin was dark brown from 18 years in the African sun. His face was wrinkled from the ravages of fevers. He was half deaf from rheumatic fever and half blind. What a sacrifice. Was the sacrifice worth it? Consider this. 25 years after he died in 1900, there were 10 million Christians in Africa. Today, there are over 300 million. When David Livingstone stands before God, all of heaven will hear God say to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So often, we allow the enemy to try to degrade the value that we have in God's eyes and what we can do to build God's kingdom through Rockwood United Methodist Church. A teenager, one of nine children in his family, was looking for work. He got turned down almost every place he went trying to find a job. He finally got a job in his uncle's store as a shoe salesman. On April 21st, 1858, his Sunday school teacher, Edward Kimball, stopped by the store and led this teenage shoe clerk to Christ. The clerk, Dwight L. Moody, later became an evangelist and was used by God to lead thousands to Christ. In England in 1879, his preaching started a fire in the heart of Frederick Meyer, the pastor of a small church. Meyer, preaching on a college campus, led J. Wilbur Chapman to Christ. J. Wilbur Chapman preached in a crusade in Pittsburgh in which over 8,000 people gave their hearts and lives to Christ. Chapman was involved also in YMCA work. He employed a former baseball player, Billy Sunday, to do evangelistic work. Billy Sunday was raised in an orphanage, worked on a farm, and did not even have a high school diploma. He preached to thousands. One series of his revival services was in Charlotte, North Carolina. The local businessmen were so enthused that they planned another evangelistic campaign. And they brought in a fiery preacher from Kentucky by the name of Mordecai Ham. During Ham's revival services, a young man named Billy Graham heard the gospel message, and yielded his life to Christ. All because a Sunday school teacher talked to a shoe salesman. Folks, I don't expect that in my lifetime I'm going to see a tidal wave happen from Rockwood United Methodist Church. I hope I'm absolutely wrong. I don't expect I am. But I do expect to see a lot of ripples. Have you ever been by a still lake where everything was reflected in the water was just so still? And you took a rock, you threw it into the water, and you watched as the ripples spread and spread and spread? Well, we ain't tidal wave people, but we sure can make some ripples. And we have no way of knowing how far those are going to go. This isn't even in my script, and I'm almost done. But let me give you an illustration. When I was in college in Illinois, one day I went into a music store there, and I was talking to the manager. A lady came in. I had no idea who she was. She joined in the conversation. And I mentioned something about being from Auburndale, Florida, about going to high school there. She said, "Auburndale?" She said, "We live in Winter Haven, which is our main rival, just 5 miles away." And I said, "Really?" She said, "Yes." She said, "In fact, last Sunday, we just wanted to go somewhere different for church. So we were driving around. We ended up in Auburndale. And we went to First Methodist Church. And some woman there that we'd never even ever met invited us to her house for dinner." I said, "What was her name?" She said, "I don't remember her name, but she lived on Palm Avenue." I said, "That was my mother." A week later, 1,200 miles away, the story of the hospitality that happened in that church in Florida was being shared. We have no way of knowing. I have a nephew who once dated a girl whose father owned an apple orchard with 25,000 apple trees. Now, I can't comprehend 25,000 apple trees, so let's focus it in a little bit more on one tree. But yet on one tree, there can be hundreds of apples. So let's break it down even more. Let's focus on one apple. Let's focus even more on one little apple seed. Someone said that anybody can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. Think about that. One seed could be responsible for millions of apple trees. Look back in your genealogy. Look at your great-great-great-grandparents, and they had four kids, and each of the four kids had four kids, and each of the... Yeah, and now you know why your life is like it is today. Okay, just has a way of multiplying. Now, right away, there are people that see where I'm going with this, and they say, well, now, preacher, there are a lot of things that can keep the apples from growing. There's a lot of reasons why that tree won't produce apples. It could be the soil, it could be the moisture, it could be the drought, it could be blight, and on and on and on. But the exciting thing for you and me here this morning, at Rockwood United Methodist Church, coming out of a terrible worldwide pandemic, the wonderful thing is that we're not depending on us for there to be a harvest. My Bible, and probably your Bible too, says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in their midst. Now, whichever one of those figures you take, two or three, we've got 10 times that many here today. And if God is here with 10 times that many, think what could happen. A songwriter said, little is much when God is in it. Jesus in John 15:5 said, I am the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. In closing, while we're talking about what this poor, struggling little church on Rockwood is going to do, that's been my pet peeve down through the years, these people that get up in church and say, oh, God bless our little church. We are many people. We can't do very much. Don't tell God what you can't do. Say, God, here I am. Whatever you want to do with me, I will. But let me share a hymn with you. It was written 95 years ago. And I've taken the liberty to change the lyrics in it a little bit. The hymn uses I, me, and my, but we're all in this thing together, okay? So I have changed it to we, us, and our. The name of the song is He Will Not Fail Us Now. We came to Jesus sick of sin. He did not fail us then. He made us new without within and did not fail us then. He satisfied our longing then, and he will not fail us now. When Satan tried to draw us back, Christ did not fail us then, but kept us on the upward track and did not fail us then. When Satan tried his worst to do, our Lord was by our side, we knew. He answered prayer and took us through. He will not fail us now. When in affliction, grief, and pain, he did not fail us then. When no one cared, we came to him. He did not fail us then. We trusted him for keeping grace to walk the path his hand did trace and said while looking on his face, he will not fail us now. When Abraham obeyed the Lord, he did not fail him then. And others faced the fire and sword, he did not fail them then. Lean hard on him, O tested soul. On him your care and burdens roll. Our God still lives and has control. He will not fail us now. He stilled the storms and calmed our fears, forgave our sins and dried our tears. He's just the same through endless years. He will not fail us now. If we're willing to be God's people, to die out to self for God, and to acknowledge that this is God's church, there is absolutely no limit what God can and will and wants to do here. Not because of him, not because of them, but because of whose church it is. Heavenly Father, this morning,